What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the From the Shadows podcast. I'm your host, Shane Grove. And since I'm recording this in a afternoon in January, Jason, the super producer, is sadly at work. So he's not fitting the schedule right now, but hopefully he'll be back soon because he misses all the fans and the guests. And I hear from the fans they miss Jason. So we'll... Hopefully we'll have him back on a show here pretty soon. But before I do bring on our guest, I want to remind everybody that if you have an encounter or an experience you'd like to share with us, you can find us at From the Shadows Podcast on Facebook or our forum page, After the Shadows, on Facebook. You can find me at Shane Grove Author on Instagram or From the Shadows Podcast on Instagram, or just the old-fashioned way. Look us up at fromtheshadowspodcast.com, hit the contact button, and send me an email and tell me what you want to talk about, what story you want to share or whatever, and I will read it and get back to you. So, and then if you're looking for extra content, we do have a Patreon page. You can just go to Patreon, look up fromtheshadows.com. There's different levels of membership to get different levels of content. So go check that out if you're looking for more. If you just can't get enough of us, and if you've had way too much of us, I'm sorry. We'll try to do better. So I want to. Our today's guest is, and it's such a small world. As she and I were talking before we came on here, but today's guest has some ties to some of our former guests, which just goes to show you how close the paranormal and cryptid / Bigfoot world is. But my guest is the one and only Jessica Jones, also known as the Cryptid Huntress. Cryptid Huntress, welcome to the program.
Well, hey, Shane, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And I just want you to know you totally stole the moniker that I wanted to be known as. I wanted to be known as the Cryptid Huntress, too.
Huntress.
Yes, of course.
Oh, you know, I'll share it with you if you'd like. Sure.
I think you're a much better huntress than I am. So and I'm not much of a hunter either, so there's not no point in pretending. So Jessica, you do a ton of stuff in the paranormal world, and I want to give you the chance to kind of tell your story to how you got into it and share some of your experiences with our listeners.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes, well, I'm a Bigfoot field researcher at heart, and I always have been. But somehow I've ended up with several shows on podcasts, live shows. I'm actually a weekend host at Spaced Out Radio and have a weekend show there. right now. But yeah, it all goes back to my childhood. Imagine that. And, you know, having some sort of a connection to supernatural things that were occurring around me all the time, and the paranormal. And honestly, I got to say, I didn't start off with a big interest in Bigfoot. I kind of was growing up seeing spirits and ghosts, and had a real big interest in UFOs, and would take my little nap mat, you know, from kindergarten out into my front yard. And I live in Georgia, so I grew up on a farm. So I would take my little mat out to the front yard at night, and I would lay on it, and I'd look up for UFOs into the sky. So, and of course, like my science projects, they would all be on black holes and weird stuff that other kids looked at me funny for doing. But I've always just had a connection to like outer space and the stars and ghosts and now Bigfoot, of course. But yeah, I've grown up, you know, with a long line of women in my family that were very intuitive and very psychic, and even my dad. So I couldn't get away with anything when I was a teenager, unfortunately. But yeah,
they weren't just lucky guessers, right?
I thought they were just. Well, I thought they were spying on me. It was the days before we had cameras and stuff, and cell phones and Ring doorbells and all that kind of stuff. They had to have been intuitive. Yeah. So I couldn't get away with sneaking out of the house so easily back then. But anyways, yeah, I grew up being, you know, just in tune with things that other people didn't experience and couldn't see. And I always tried to keep it to myself a little bit, because people would look at you funny, you know, if you told them that you talked to dead people, you know.
How did your family, like, so you think your family were intuitive? Did you share it with them too, or not?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're just talking. Yeah, you didn't share it with the public. Okay. Over lunch, your chocolate milk, you didn't say, hey, by the way, you know.
Not at all.
What'd your family say about it? Like,
They had experiences too. So I come from a long line of people, generations of family members and ancestors having experiences that they didn't really talk about very much. But and if they did, they associated it with something that would be a little bit different than what we might associate these phenomenon as today. Let's say, for instance, my great, great, great grandmother died. Grandmother Duke was her name. And this was up in the mountains of North Georgia. Her husband actually fought in the Civil War. Okay. She was very young, and she married a very old man. Okay. Let's just put it that way. But she, when she died, a ball of fire came out of the woods, an orb, and it circled the house and went inside the house and under the house and outside, and it went out the door, and the whole entire family saw it. Just a ball of fire. They called it a ball of fire. I had stories like that. Now what it was, I'm not sure. We're not sure, but it was like an orb. Now I have seen many, many, many orbs in my time out in the field doing Bigfoot field research. We oftentimes have orbs out there that float around, and some of them look like balls of fire. You know, they're lit up, they're really bright. Could it have been that? I guess so. I'm not sure. Back in the 1980s, my great grandmother and my great aunt, her daughter, they were driving down a highway up in Rome, Georgia, in northwest Georgia, and it was dark, and a light came down and enveloped their car. It came from the sky. And they were looking up, trying to figure out where that light was coming from. And the next thing they know, it was 2 hours later, and they were about 20 miles down the road in another county. And of course, today we'd say, well, they got abducted. You know, that was some sort of a UFO abduction experience, missing time, you know. But to them, they're very devout Christians. You know, they had the Ten Commandments in their front yard, you know, on a big placard. So, yeah. They associated that with God taking them out of harm's way. And those were the angels that picked them up and moved them because they obviously were avoiding a bad accident or something. But that's how they described it throughout the years. So.
Wow, that's great. That's crazy.
That was my great grandmother. I mean, how many people do we know whose great grandparents, you know, had a possible abduction experience? I don't know of a lot of people.
Maybe more than we. I mean, probably. It's got to be more than we think, because just like you said, nobody talked about it, and even though that wasn't a rational explanation, as far as what they came up with. It was more rational for them to have been abducted almost.
It totally was. But I mean, a lot of people say, even with that ball of fire that came through, they thought it was the angels coming to take my great, great, great grandmother away. I mean, to me, it sounds like it was an orb, and orbs are a lot of times associated with ET activity and Bigfoot activity even. So who knows? It's really interesting.
That just opens up a whole big discussion that I think should take place on one of your shows about whether, you know, are angels really aliens and stuff.
I've done a show on that, actually. Yeah. I did a show on that. Yeah. My friend Barry Littleton came on Spaced Out Radio with me one night, and we discussed the difference between aliens and demons, and if there's similarities and the way it's all, honestly, it's about perception in a lot of ways. It's how everybody perceives them in your beliefs. And I mean, a lot of times they are very dark experiences when you have an abduction experience. And how, I mean, like you're saying, like, are they demons or aliens? And how do we know they're actually aliens from another planet? It's a lot to comprehend. And to try to, it makes your brain hurt once you start really looking into this stuff too deeply.
Yeah. I mean, in my humble opinion, it easily is a fine line between what we call aliens and what we call angels and, you know, religious experiences versus being, you know, maybe just an extraterrestrial experience that had no other way to be explained. You know, I mean, think about our origin of religion took place at a time where there was no technology to kind of put something in a different box. It was all a miracle. And how did that miracle happen? It must be a God. Okay. You know, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like the psychic abilities that I have today and my ancestors had, we were probably looked at as witches, you know, and burned at the stake for having those types of abilities and actually using them.
Well, yeah, you probably had more ability than the actual people who got burned at the stake at Salem.
Maybe, you know, perhaps.
To be honest,
yeah.
I don't.
Well, the ones at Salem, yeah, I actually remote viewed that and that whole thing. And they were just being persecuted and probably didn't have any kind of abilities at all. They just, people didn't like them. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The only ability they didn't have was to make friends. That's the only
right.
ability
they didn't have. Exactly. Or they knew somebody's dark secrets. So exactly. Somebody didn't want to get out. Unfortunately, that's how those things work. But yeah. It's really interesting. And that is actually leads us into my experiences out in the field. Okay. And having all this weird paranormal stuff going on when I'm out there doing Bigfoot field research and us not knowing exactly what's going on and what these entities are. Okay. That we're dealing with out there. And so I'll rewind a little bit and tell you how I got into Bigfoot field research. Before I go there with that story. So, when I was around, I guess I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I guess. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but you're going to be able to guess now. So I went to a meeting with my mother one night who said, she told me she was going to go hear some guys speak about Bigfoot field research. They're from North Georgia. They knew a lot about Bigfoot. And if anyone knew if Bigfoot was real, it'd be them, is what she told me. So I went with her to a meeting one night at this man's house, and we, these guys were giving a presentation, and I was just floored. I was like, oh my gosh. I wanted to know for myself if Bigfoot was real. And so I started, when the presentation was over, I mean, these guys had given so much evidence, showed pictures and footprints, and they were professional trackers, you know, and just knew their stuff. And I asked them after the presentation, I'm like, well, if Bigfoot's real, you know, why is there no body? Where's the body? Where's the poop? You know? And they saw that I had a big interest in what they were doing, and they invited me on an expedition. And so what better way to learn about Bigfoot than going into the woods with a bunch of strange men by myself and spending a weekend with a bunch of people I don't know, you know? And, I said, yes. Absolutely. And so I went and I got a tent and some hiking boots and a backpack and all my gear. And I borrowed stuff from people, and I went out and I camped out for a weekend with this group and up in North Georgia. And it was like the best thing I ever did. Okay. It was so cool. I'm actually here talking with you today, Shane, because of what I did, because I did that.
That may be the worst thing you ever did then. I'm just giving you that option.
Oh my gosh. No, it's fun. We're having fun today. Okay. This is a good time. But yeah, I went out in the field for a few days, 3 or 4 nights, and, with this team. And I had no expectations whatsoever as to seeing Bigfoot. I mean, I was hoping I would, but I doubted I would. But let me tell you, Shane, we, the first night I got there, we had not only Bigfoot activity, but we had UFO activity. We had alien stuff going on. We had missing time. We had all of our equipment malfunctioning the whole weekend. We had so much stuff going on. I was blown away by it. I can't say I was totally shocked, because I've always had a lot of paranormal activity around me my whole life, but out in the field, it's a whole different story when you're out in the woods, in the dark woods, you know, having UFOs flying over your head while you've got Bigfoots hollering in the woods. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. But it was some of the experiences that I had out there that weekend were so intense. And we knew that something more had happened to us while we were out in the field. You know, not just this Bigfoot activity. We knew that something else had happened with some events that took place. And the head of that team, okay, by the end of that weekend, they asked me to join their team. And I had volunteered to be bait, you know, and put myself out there. I was so gung-ho the whole weekend. I was like, if I die, tell my mom Bigfoot got me, you know. And I think they liked my attitude. So, It was a lot of fun. And I mean, I even had something run up behind me at some point that weekend, and it knocked my legs out from underneath me as I was walking up a hill by myself while the guys were watching me through their FLIR. But there was nothing there.
What? Well, now wait a second. So, okay. So yeah, you can't just gloss over that. So what exactly do you think it was that rushed up behind you and knocked you off your feet?
Well, what did they see
through? You said they're watching through a thermal.
Their thermals and their FLIRs. Yes, okay. I had a whole group of grown men at the bottom of the hill that were watching me walk about 100 yards up the hill to a tree line, and in an open field, and what has now become known as UFO field. But one of the guys was like, I dare you to go walk up there. And I was like, absolutely, I'll do it. You know, and I didn't have any kind of night vision device or anything. I was just walking with my backpack and me, and that was it. Hoping for the best, praying that nothing got me, but I knew that the guys were watching me. So, I knew I was safe. You know, the guys that I go out Bigfooting with are no people to mess with. You know, they're former military and law enforcement and firefighters, and, you know, they're well prepared to take care of all of us, and we all take care of each other, you know, when we're out there safety wise. But I got halfway up the hill, and I heard one of the guys was running at me like a linebacker, like a football player. Okay. coming from behind, and I could hear it. And I thought, and I actually started to kind of slow down, and I kind of stopped in my tracks a little bit. And as I felt them running up behind me. I was fully and expecting like to get hit or something to happen because I felt the energy, like I could hear it. I could feel it. And I kind of braced myself for a half second because I really thought they were playing a joke on me. And the next thing I know, my legs got hit from behind, both of them. And whoever it was kept running past me. And I felt, and I 100% feel like it was a person. It was a bipedal humanoid. Okay, I guess you can say like a humanoid. And as it hit me, it wasn't like it hurt me. It was playful. It was kind of like a playful kind of thing. And there was nobody there. I turned around. I was trying to, I got my balance. There was nobody there. And so I thought, well, man, that was so weird. Super weird. And as I had jumped up in the air, when it hit my legs, I kind of like my arms kind of flung up in the air a little bit, like kind of flailed around. Well, that was the distress call if I needed anything, but I didn't mean to do it. But the guys were like, oh, well, Jessica looks like she's something that she needs us, you know? So one of the guys eventually, I kept walking and made it almost up to the tree line when one of the guys did come up behind me and asked if I was okay. You know, and I was like, yeah, I'm fine. What was that? Did y'all see something? And they were like, nope, didn't see anything. So, but as I was standing there in front of the tree line, so we saw, I was standing there at the top of the hill and one of the guys, down at the bottom of the hill was looking through his FLIR and saw a Sasquatch peek its head out from around a tree. And it was directly in front of me. And something, it was really odd because something had kind of pulled me to that section of the tree line to where I walked right over there to right where it was. And I didn't see it. But as I stood there staring at the tree line, one of the guys said that Sasquatch peeked his head around the tree and stared at me for a couple of seconds. So
this was after you got knocked down?
I didn't actually get knocked down. It knocked my legs out from underneath me. It brushed the back of my legs kind of hard. And then it kept running past me. And so I didn't actually fall down. It didn't hurt. It was just like shocking, I guess. I guess you could say kind of shocking. But it was after that. Needless to say, that was kind of a lot of activity. Now, like I said, can I say that was a Bigfoot? No. I didn't know what it was. But the next night, we decided to do a special mission back to that field. And the guy who had seen the Bigfoot through his FLIR and I went and we spent, we went back to that field around 3 p.m. And we stayed there till almost 1 a.m., actually sitting there. We had like a mission set up to where we were going to try to kind of lure the Bigfoots out so that he and I could see them that night. And so we went and we set up a spidey hole, you know, like we both kind of went in our camo and blended into the environment all day. And around 9 o'clock that night, our team was going to come out and set up chairs in the field and act normal, you know, like normal, just rowdy campers, you know, being loud and hang out in the field for a little bit in hopes that it would attract the Bigfoot to come through the woods and to come check them out, thereby stepping on top of my partner and I. Okay. So we'd be able to see it. That was the plan.
Okay. Sounds like a terrible plan, but okay.
It was a long day. It was a very long day. But you know, I had my recording device on pretty much the whole time. I guess it was like when it got dark, I turned on my recording device, and I did pick up some very interesting audio that night, but we sat out there all night and before the team got out there, it was getting dark and he and I both started noticing lights in the sky right above our heads. And, way up in the sky, we were seeing what looked like, well, we knew they weren't satellites because they were moving in, it looked like an airplane, but they were moving in triangular designs. Like they were moving in triangular, like grid systems or something. It was just weird. And so they were UFOs. We're seeing UFOs in the sky, and a light, a huge head. We thought it was a headlight to a car, showed up on the side of a mountain that was beside us, like a big hill. Well, we thought our rational brains are trying to make sense of what we're seeing, right? And we're still waiting for Bigfoot to step on us, sitting there trying to be quiet. But we're also trying to whisper to each other, figuring out like what all these lights are that are going off like all around us in the field. And this one big orb, like a big ball of light, it looked like it was over the tree line on the side of this mountain. And we were thinking, well, it was moving in a horizontal line, perfectly straight line over the trees. And we were thinking, well, there might be a hiking trail over there, but there's no way that a car could go over there. And it looked like car headlights, kind of. And then it went inside the trees a little bit. And we're thinking, well, there's no way a trail is going to be a straight line like that going down the side of a mountain. And we started noticing our equipment was malfunctioning. His time on his equipment was going forward an hour. Mine went backwards an hour. We were both getting very tired. Of course, we had been out there all day, but I do remember at some point I felt like I had fallen asleep, kind of, which was not like me. And when the team got out there that night, there were red lights in the tree line right beside my partner and I, and the team thought that it was us, but there were actually like bright red lights in the field. I guess they were in the tree line about 10, 15 feet from where he and I were sitting. So that was weird too. And when I got home, I was listening to my recordings that I had made that night. And around the time that we were seeing that light on the side of the mountain, it sounded like bottle rockets were being shot off all around us in my recorder. So, but he and I had never heard that with our own ears.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
So something that loud and you didn't hear it at all?
Not at all. Multiple bottle rockets. I mean, it sounds like pew, 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 all around us. Yes.
Okay. All right.
So the place did not disappoint. Okay. I got my fill of Bigfoot and all sorts of other stuff for the weekend. And so the head of my team, actually that team, he is an amazing remote viewer. Okay. He's formally trained, and he decided, well, hey, you know, he's very much into like the mind, body, spirit kind of aspect of like Bigfoot and all these experiences that we have out there in the field. And he said, you know, I think it's time for me to teach everyone remote viewing because of that incident that my partner and I had out there. And because we needed to be able to see more into the paranormal stuff that was happening to us while we're out in the field. Now, if anyone is not familiar with remote viewing, it's something that our military and militaries all over the world have used for a while. It's a form of like psychic spying, I think is what they call it. It's basically a scientific method of utilizing your psychic abilities to view a target. And usually we don't know what that target is. We're given a set of numbers. And we take those numbers and we sit down and we draw out all this data and stuff that comes to us, and we locate targets. So we were all taught over several years as a team remote viewing. So I'm not only part of a Bigfoot research team, but we are remote viewers as well. So we're able to look at a whole other aspect to the paranormal side of stuff.
So I want to ask you a couple things here then. Back to whatever swiped your legs as you're walking up the hill. Now, do you think that was the Bigfoot then that was hiding in the woods and looking at you, just ran by you in a way that you could not see it? Or what were your thoughts?
I do actually. Yes, I do. I do believe that's what it was. Now, do we have concrete proof? No, we don't. But there's one thing about my research that I do. You know, I'm a member of three different teams, at least. And I work with, you know, I research with people from all over the country and even from Canada sometimes. But we are, all the teams do our research a little differently. Okay. And some of the teams like Trey's team, you know, I'm on Trey Hudson's team with, we work on the Meadow Project. A lot of your viewers have probably heard of that, because I think Trey was one of your guests.
Yep. Not too long ago.
Yes, that team is very scientific. We take all the equipment out there in the field and, you know, we take measurements and all that kind of stuff. We document everything. Now, the team that does the remote viewing, we have all the equipment. We use it sometimes, but I personally, when I'm out with them, I prefer not to take any equipment. I'm out there for the experience. You know, I never in a million years thought I'd talk publicly about this. Okay, so this is something that I actually waited 10 years before I went public with any of my research. And most of the people on my teams, especially on that team with the remote viewing team, we don't really talk about our research very much. Now, Trey talks about it. So that's kind of why I'm able to talk about a good bit of my research, is because I talk about the research I do with Trey and his team. Because that's public. And so... you know, like I said, every team is different.
Mm-hmm.
We all have similar kind of events that happen and similar experiences, but we don't talk about all of it all the time, because first of all, 10 years ago, I guess it was 11 years ago now, when we started researching with them, there is way more of a stigma to Bigfoot research. Okay, like big time. I actually worked in state government, and I was a public speaker, and you know, I had a little reputation that I had needed to uphold. Okay, so I didn't go around telling everybody that I was a Bigfoot field researcher back then. But for whatever reason, about a year ago, I was asked to speak at a conference here in Georgia on disclosure. And I did that, and it snowballed from there on. So now I talk about it publicly every day. Somehow, I don't know how my life has gotten so weird, but it has.
it sounds great. What are you talking about?
It's fun. I love it. Yeah, I'm having so much fun. It's outrageous how much fun I have doing this. But you know, and not to say people still don't look at me funny, and you know, I'm sure I've had some pretty bad comments on some of the shows I've gone on. You know, people think I'm crazy. It's okay. It's okay. It's very rare to get those, but I get those kind of negative comments. But you know, the thing about it is, I never set out to like prove the existence of Bigfoot to anybody. And I'm not on air talking about like, you got to believe what I've experienced. And I've got all this, you know, I don't go out there throwing my evidence in everybody's faces and that. I just tell my story and share my experiences because there's so many people out here that have similar experiences like me. And you know, I'm a part of the camp that, you know, we got two camps when it comes to Bigfoot. We got the flesh and blood primate in the woods camp, and then we got what they call the woo camp. Okay. And to me, I didn't even know what woo meant, because that's what I know is the supernatural part of all this. And the connection to the ETs and the spaceship and the portals, you know, we've experienced all that. So I have never held back ever. Like from day one, I was like guns blazing. Like, yes, we researched Bigfoot and we've experienced a portal, you know, and we've had UFOs and ETs and all that stuff is combined with ghosts and, you know, you name it. It's all out there and it's all connected. I mean, that's my stance when it comes to all this stuff. But yeah, not everybody's on that same page, you know, not everybody's experienced the same thing that I have. And that is totally fine. But hey, Shane, are you there?
Yeah. Did you not hear me?
No, I did not. I think you're muted.
Jeez. No, I said that people will literally want to fight you if you disagree with the way they see things sometimes. It's crazy.
Well, you know, I don't disagree with anybody. I respect everyone's views. You know, I do have a couple of shows that I do every week, and I love bringing people on that have different experiences than I do, because we can all learn from each other. You know, I mean, I just like hearing everybody's viewpoint. I don't think anybody's wrong in the way they think. But like I said, I don't mind sharing my story. And I think there's more to Bigfoot than just flesh and bone. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, but the reason you say that is because that's what you've experienced.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it's hard for people who haven't had that same experience to, I mean, just because you've had an experience somebody else hasn't had doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Exactly.
You know, and it may never happen for the other people, you know, it just like their experience may never happen for you. So it doesn't make you any more right than them. It just makes it different. You know, exactly. It's all yeah. And all of it needs to be heard because it's all part of the bigger puzzle, you know.
It is, you know, and along the way, I mean, I've met people and I've worked with people who have seen modern day dinosaurs, you know. I mean, it's just there's so much weird stuff.
Well, no, wait a second. I got to hear about that. What are those stories? I like that. That intrigues me because I don't know how. I mean, I find that like a real possibility in some places.
Absolutely. Well, there's been
especially West Virginia. Just saying. No, go.
Absolutely, right? With Mothman, everything, right?
Yeah.
I researched a lot of these paranormal things very extensively. I have a show that I actually had a show for a while with the guys from Texas Front Porch. And I had a remote viewing show or a remote view paranormal attacks, like dogman attacks, Bigfoot attacks, you know, anything. It was kind of disturbing looking into so many attacks and death that I started looking more into dinosaurs and stuff. So I did some remote viewing of modern day pterosaurs. And Jason McLean, actually, who has a show there, too, he had his own pterosaur sighting. And a pterosaur is like a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
I think a pterodactyl is a pterosaur, basically. But you would be shocked at the number of pterosaur sightings all over North America. I had a map that I showed on my show of all the different sightings, and a lot of them are in North Carolina, West Virginia, like you said. All over the country, Texas, Oklahoma, Tennessee actually had some, Georgia had some. And these, not all these people, they can't all be crazy, right? I mean, I don't think we're all crazy here, and people know what they see. But
or at least they're seeing something.
They're seeing something.
Isn't normal that, you know, whether it's a flying dinosaur or not, it's still something that's not a robin. You know what I'm saying? It's something.
It kind of goes back to, you know, the Native Americans had the Thunderbird, and mm-hmm. and very easily that could have possibly been what they were seeing too. It would have been a gigantic pterosaur. If these things were real. Now, I did do some remote viewing on that particular incident that Jason McLean had. And I came up with some very interesting data on those on that particular pterosaur. And I believe that some of them were actually just regional, and they're from here. They've always been here. We just don't see them. But there's some of them also that have been grown in labs and stuff. So I think the scientists have been, perhaps could have been growing some of these. And I guess maybe they're just flying around and people don't know.
Are you trying to say that Jurassic Park is partly based in truth?
I think so. It could be. I mean, we don't know what these scientists are coming up with. in these labs. I've seen some weirder stuff than that. Very, very much weird. More weird.
Well, before we get on to even weirder stuff, I can't get off the dinosaur thing. So are you how are you able to discern, like, which is something that just may be been around or something that has been genetically created through in a lab?
Well, it absolutely depends. You know, I remote viewed several different incidents. Okay. I remote viewed the one pterosaur that Jason McLean encountered. And that one actually seemed to, I can't remember. I had to pull out my file on that one. It's been a few months since I did that. But one of the cases that I had, and I can't remember if it was Jason's, I think Jason's might have been the one that was grown, like hatched in a lab, is what I was coming up with. Other ones are just here. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them in Texas, in the Oklahoma area, like the Brown Springs area, and that's a whole other ball game right there. Okay, Brown Springs. but yeah, it just depends on what I was looking at, which incident I was looking into. So,
why aren't we seeing these things? Like, why aren't we? I mean, we are seeing them. Some people apparently are, but why isn't it something that is just a normal, like more people just seeing them on accident or as they're driving down the road, or are they in places where?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
They're remote, and that just isn't a possibility.
Yes, I say yes to all of that. Everything you just said, yes, 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 and yes. It's because that they are in remote locations. I also got that they were nocturnal. Okay, and a lot of them fly at night, and so they're doing a whole lot of night flying. I also got that they are they eat fish. Okay, so they're found. A lot of them are seen around water. And that's why, because they're eating the fish out of the oceans and the lakes. I think it was a lake. Okay. So I don't know. You know, there's also the whole side of it. You know, I come from the woo camp, as they say. And I am very much into the energy, the frequency, the vibration. And I believe that certain people can see things that other people can't see when it comes down to seeing even paranormal things that we have going on, like orbs and ghosts. So,
but we wouldn't call these things paranormal, really, would we? I mean, if they've been around.
I looked at, they were not. Yeah, they were not. But I mean, I've actually seen ghosts that were as solid as you and I.
Yeah, so. I have to admit I have too. So
okay. So that doesn't make sense though, right? So,
what's that? That isn't what?
And so that doesn't make a lot of sense either when you think about it, because it's like, well, those are not even there, but they're solid like we are. They're not supposed to be there.
Exactly. And it's like, I've told the story many times. If I hadn't asked a question, I just would have thought it was a person that I had seen and kind of interacted with. And so I have no explanation for that, because the other people in the room did not see or even know what I was talking about.
Really?
You know? Yeah. So,
well, you know, I have another story actually that kind of can go with that too, is that when I was at the Meadow one weekend doing research with Trey and my team, I had to come home early because I had, my son was like 2 or 3 years old at the time. And so I couldn't stay gone more than like a night. Okay. I didn't want to stay gone from him. So I came home early, and that was the night that the portal opened up in the Meadow that night, and they recorded it. Well, I had just left the Meadow and I came home, and my son was in my was down in my living room. I had this is gonna sound real fancy, I had an elliptical machine in my front living room. Okay. And
was it right beside the hot tub?
Oh man, not in the living room. No.
Okay. All right. Well, then you're not.
That's on the back.
You're not that fancy. I'm sorry. You're not that fancy.
It's fancy though. Okay. But yeah, my son was on the elliptical, and his dad, who I was married to at the time. Okay. He was filming him on the camera because he was looking so cute. And, but the problem was he had on his little underoos, you know, he had on some underwear, and that was about it. So I have not been able to show this video publicly because of that. I've attempted to, and then my producers are like, absolutely not. So, but we have a video of my son on this elliptical machine looking all cute, you know, and all of a sudden these two balls of light show up and start flying around my son. And his dad was, he called me into the living room and said, "Hey, come here. You got to see this. You're going to love this." And my son is still, you know, working out on the elliptical machine, but he's obviously looking at these two balls of light that are floating around his head. And he says, "Mom, ball, ball." And he points at the orbs. And as I walked in the living room, I didn't know what I was going to be looking at. I thought he had two lightning bugs or some kind of bug flying around his head. It took me a second to adjust to that reality that there were orbs floating around my son. They weren't just floating like slowly. They were dancing all around his head and all around him. And his dad could not see the orbs. I could see them with my eyes. My son could see them with his eyes, which is apparent in the video. His dad could not see them at all. He was not on that frequency, except for through his phone. So he was able to watch them on his cell phone while he recorded them, but could not see them otherwise. And then the orbs flew towards his camera that he had in his hand that was recording, flew towards the camera, and the camera shut off.
Really?
And so all three of us experienced it. Only two of us saw them with our own eyes. And I have a video that proves it. Yes.
So
it was really interesting.
So what's your husband think? Was it, now he wasn't going out researching and doing stuff with you, was he?
He's my ex-husband. And yeah,
okay.
No, I'm
okay.
Just kidding. Yes. He was going out there with me. Okay.
So he was
have fun out there. I don't think he ever had fun going out there, but he understood it. He was open to it. But he would get frustrated because he would not have the same experiences that the rest of us were having. And it's because I firmly believe it's because he just was not on that frequency. He was, you know, he would suck the fun out of the room, to be honest with you. He's like, you know.
Wait a second. Are you talking about my ex-wife or your ex-husband? Okay. I'm sorry.
Sucked the fun out of the room. So.
That's a different show. Yes. I apologize. My apologies.
But no, it's just a matter of not everybody being on that vibrational frequency to tune in to things like that. And as bad as some people want to see things, you're not always going to see it if you're not on that vibration.
And I agree with that. I think that becomes apparent the more people I talk to that people will say, well, how do they see this and this and this? And I think once you are open to one thing, I think it kind of opens you up to some other stuff that you know, the normal person. And I don't know what, if everybody has that ability and just is unable to tap into it for some reason, or if some people just don't have it, or, you know, I don't know what the limits are to it, but it does seem like some people, once they start, then they're open to a whole bunch of stuff.
That's true. Yeah. And so that's what makes my teams very special in my opinion, is that we've all been inoculated. Is what we like to call it. We've been inoculated to like the most crazy crap ever out in the field. And so we're all very switched. We call it being switched on, like psychically switched on. And that makes a big difference when you're out in the field doing research when it comes to Bigfoot and whatever else is out there. Dogman, ghosts, UFOs, all roads lead back to ET. Okay. Just going to throw that in there.
And that's, and some people would scoff at you, but that's your experience from going out there. And, you know, a lot of people that scoff at you, they're not out there doing the stuff that I know Trey and those guys are doing and that you're obviously doing with them. You know, I mean, there's something to be said for having a bigger sample size than, you know what I'm saying? Than watching some TV shows and listening to some podcasts, you know?
That's true. I mean, yeah. Well, and that's what makes it really cool that I have these shows that I do, because I'm not, you know, like I was talking with Lauren. I don't know if you know Lauren Smith with Nightcallers Bigfoot Radio. She was on my show this past weekend. And she and I have a lot in common. We were talking about how we are so glad that we have such a grassroots type of program, both of us, so that we can bring on actual boots on the ground researchers. You know, when I first started doing shows back a year ago, I would only bring on my teammates and people that I trusted, you know, because there's a lot of people in this community that, you know, if I didn't know them and I didn't know their research, I was scared to bring them on because that would, you know, that could really ruin my reputation as a researcher, you know? So, but now I've gotten to know so many people, and oh my gosh, it's been such a blessing to be able to talk to so many people.
There was your problem, is you had a reputation. If you'd have been like us, our reputations are terrible anyway. So it didn't matter who we talked to or who we talked to.
Well, my reputation has definitely gone downhill quite a bit. No, I'm just kidding. Since I started doing all these shows, I mean, I've been doing them for about a year and a half now. So, I have so much fun. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care.
It is. It's a lot of fun to get to talk to different people that are out doing something that like I've, you know, we've all said before, is when we were younger, you know, we never in a million years thought we'd be having serious conversations about Bigfoot, ghosts, the Bermuda Triangle, Dogman, pterodactyls, pterosaurs, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that was all the stuff that us as kids just loved and devoured and read books on and couldn't wait for a TV show to come on about it. And then to be able to talk to people and get people to talk to you who have had these experiences and kept them a secret for sometimes 30, 40 years. It's humbling, to say the least, that people feel comfortable to share those stories with you, you know?
Absolutely.
And anybody that wants to, you know, It's like you said, there's people that just hate, they're going to hate anything you do, no matter what you talk about. And I don't understand why those people even bother listening. You know, go listen to something else.
Well, that's another thing. You know, I'm also very spiritual, and I have like a whole other side of like my YouTube channel where I, you know, I talk spiritual stuff too a lot, and about raising your vibrational frequency. And I think it's stuff to try to kind of help people on a spiritual level to raise your frequency so that you can have these experiences like we're having. You know, you're more prone to it, you're more open to it. You know, when you let go of all the negativity and kind of get outside of the matrix, you step outside the matrix. That's when you start shining like a light out in the darkness. And when you're out there doing stuff like Bigfoot field research and you're, you know, chasing dog man around the woods, things are going to see you. You're going to be a beacon of light for experiences, you know, for all those entities that are out there.
If you can put, I mean, that's a school of thought that, you know, you can attract, you know, success and money and love and healing and other things. Okay. If you get on the right plane of vibrational plane. Okay. And because you start attracting stuff that is similar to your thoughts and your feelings or your own vibrations. Well, if you can attract money or healing or love, why couldn't you attract other things that are out there in that realm to you? You know, you just got to get on the right, just like you said, become a beacon of light or the right vibrational. I don't even know what the correct term would be.
Frequency
that other that they're going to tune into and they're going to be paying attention to and say, well, what's this over here? So, yeah, I totally buy into that, you know, and just on an everyday basis. You know, drawing things, positivity into your life. So why can't you tune into that other, those other frequencies to attract other things? For sure.
Yeah. But also you got to know how to protect your energy as well, because once you are a beacon of light and you're walking through those woods, there's a lot of negative stuff out there too, that's going to want to attach to you. So you got to be real careful.
That's why you are trying to be a beacon of light to Dog Man. And I'm just trying to be a beacon of light people that want to cut songs I write or something.
Yeah, that vortex, right? You're like a vortex. Was that Abraham Hicks?
I mean, I want to hear about you attracting these. I don't really want to attract.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know how I have not attracted a dog man in yet. Thank God.
Well, you just have the right biscuits. I'm sorry.
I just have not brought the right doggy treats with me. That's right. I'll take a squeeze.
I have to be honest, I have not heard a dogman story in which I thought, wow, I'd really like to run into that thing.
No.
You know, I have not heard one. Trust me.
I'd like to see one from afar. I would love, I mean, that's what I do, you know. I mean, I'm all down for it, but
have you tried to remote view then a dogman story and see what you could?
Oh, yeah. I have. I've remote viewed many dogman stories, personal accounts, famous stories. Absolutely.
So the remote viewing of an event that's already happened. What is that? Is that going in to find the vibrational plane of that event and viewing it for yourself, sort of? Deal? Is that how that works?
Pretty much. Yes. It's basically pulling information out of the matrix. I mean, it's like some people say like astral projecting kind of to it. It's definitely on a different level. Let's just say, yes, I'm able to view pretty much anything. Usually my targets are blind though, and I don't know what I'm looking at until I get there. I'm given a set of coordinates, which is a set of eight numbers, 4 and 4. Okay. So it's like, let's just say 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 3. Okay. That's my coordinate. I'm tasked that coordinate and those coordinates, and I sit down with a pen and a bunch of paper, And I start drawing my graphs. And it's a process that you go through. And you write down all the sensory data that comes to you, basically psychically, I guess you could say. And I sit down for, you know, like a 30-minute session, 20-minute session. Sometimes you can go an hour or more. You can do targets all day. Not knowing what those numbers are, I'm coming up with a whole bunch of data. I'm taken to that target. The target, the coordinates are the target, and the target is assigned by someone. So let's say like the Beast of Elbiel, okay, the attack of the family at the Land Between the Lakes, the alleged attack, okay, because some of these targets, you know, the ones that I do, I'm not even sure if they are real. Okay. And so what I'm doing is going in and looking to see if these things really happen. And if they happen, what was it? Okay. And so I remote viewed the Beast of Elbiel. I also, and it's not just a beast, it's a whole bunch of them, by the way. And I also was tasked with the alleged murder of the family of four out at the Land Between the Lakes as well, which according to my data did happen.
So wait a second. So there's two different events at the Land Between the Lakes. What was the first one you're referring to then?
Oh, well, I actually remote viewed the Beast of Elbiel, like what people refer to as the Beast. So it was an overall view of like the dog man there. But when I was looking, there's way more than one. Okay. There's a lot of them there. The Beast of Elbiel. And then I actually remote viewed the attack of that family that was at the Land Between the Lakes.
So were you, so like when you remote view like that attack, are you seeing it like played out in front of you? Or are you seeing glimpses of it and piecing it together? How does it come to you?
Yes. All of it. Yes. I right away I drew a sketch of something, and it turns out it looks like a vehicle with a camper behind it or some kind of a trailer. And then I was drawing like, cause during remote viewing, you sketch and just your hands start writing and you do automatic writing. And it's, everything that I sketched on that, page, it looked like basically like the crime scene, of what happened there. And it even shows like the directions that the dog men came in and the way they left. And, there were two of them that attacked a family there. And it was very gruesome. And yeah, I did see, you get glimpses of things that are happening. You get like visions of, it's almost like a movie playing out. I was hearing song lyrics. I mean, just any kind of sensory data. You smell things. You feel the pain, the fear, the happiness, whatever. Not there's happiness there, but I'm saying like sensory wise, anything that, you know, if there's a person in the environment, if I detect a person that I can get in their head and ask some questions, I can see through their eyes.
So you can, now when you say there wasn't a happiness, I got to believe the dog men were pretty happy.
No, they were mad. No, they were actually with a lot of these attacks that I look into, people are encroaching on their territory. And that camp area was their territory. And so they felt like they had a right to kill that family.
Wow. So, because this was another, so you say you're able to ask sometimes questions of the victims or whoever, like, so it's not like you're traveling back in time.
Kind of.
Actually.
So, you're there, but time's an illusion, Shane. So.
Okay. It's a Tuesday afternoon in January. I'm not ready for let's blowing up the time continuum thing.
I know. Not to wrap your head around, but see, I talk about this and I live it so like all the time. So it sounds so easy coming out of my mouth. Like, I'm just like, oh, you know, but I know that some of the listeners that you have, some of the audience for being like, oh my God. So this is where people are like, oh, this girl's crazy.
No, I mean, totally. I mean, I've said that before, the time really does not exist. It's just a man-made thing to keep, you know, kind of keep us in a box, so to speak. You
living
know,
in context. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, however, my post my postmaster when I say, look, you say I went over 8 hours, but did I? I mean, I don't know, you know, maybe I worked 14. Maybe I only worked 3, you know, how do you know, you know, but I get what you're saying. And yeah, it's a rabbit hole that once you start going down, you realize that time really does not exist, but then it kind of blows people's mind to have to think that all this stuff may just be happening all at the same time.
It is. And you just
have to figure out how to get to those different places and experience them.
That's right. Yeah.
So
it's a lot to wrap your head around, Shane, but it's something that I have fun doing these things, like these targets, and looking into stuff like that. And some of the targets that I look into, like the Beast of LBL and the family, that's, it's really hard to do stuff like that, emotionally, having to relive things like that. But ultimately I think it's actually a good thing to be able to go back and be able to do this. So it answers a lot of questions for people. I didn't know exactly what I was looking at when I was remote viewing this. As soon as I figured out what this target was and I had all my data, I immediately contacted Jody Cook, the head of the North American Project. And I didn't know him at all. I think we were friends on Facebook. I sent him my data that night, and he sent me some videos after that to show me that my data was lining up with some of the eyewitness reports of the people that had worked that case out there, of the family that was massacred out there. So it all lined up. And so it was, I have Nick Valente coming on my show tomorrow, as a matter of fact, to talk more about Dogman. So yeah. It's very interesting. Remote viewing is a really cool tool to have in your belt if you're a paranormal researcher.
Well, okay, so for us or the listeners that can't grasp that everything's happening at the same time, and that, you know, an event like this somewhere in the universe is just happening or whatever. So, but you can remote view. And this has got to be what the military uses it for, right? What is going on right now in the present day?
Yeah. Right? You can remote view the future. You can remote view anything. I can remote view off planet. You can remote view the ocean. You can remote view, let's say the Last Supper with Jesus. I mean, you can remote view anything. You can remote view anything.
Holy moly.
Anything.
So why hasn't anybody remote viewed the Mega Million numbers for tomorrow night or tonight?
Who's to say they haven't? I don't know. I might do that. I need some.
Remember who gave you the idea.
We'll split the earnings. Okay. How about that?
I have a feeling that if you get that money by that way, there's a real price to pay.
There is. Oh, see, and that's like spiritual law, you know, the universal laws. It just, you don't listen. I am very, very appreciative and thankful and grateful for my gifts that God has given me. And I'm not crossing the line. So I am not, and that's why I don't go playing numbers and things like that. Not to say that my team of remote viewers, we haven't talked about it before. You know,
okay,
we've discussed
it. Totally off the record. How many times have you remote viewed Jason Momoa in the shower? Just tell
Never.
Us this is off the record. Okay. Okay. All right.
Oh my God. I have a code of ethics. Okay. Like, no, I don't have time to remote view that man in the shower. Okay. If I did, I wouldn't.
Jessica, but, you're a horrible liar. You're just a horrible liar. So, oh man, I'm teasing.
You're making
but
me.
But anyway. Well, so what then, you keep referring back to everything in your experience and through your research is ET, okay, extraterrestrial. So how does Bigfoot in extraterrestrial, how do those come together? Like, where's the crossroads for those things?
Well, I don't know for sure. But what I do know is that a lot of times when we have Bigfoot activity in the field, in the mountains, in the woods, there are UFOs flying around. Okay. There's ET involvement in some way, you know, there's orbs, you know, what is an orb? I've seen, the last time I was in the field, we were having Bigfoot activity all around us. And right before I heard a big old huff, like something like kind of growled and huffed at me in the tree line, I saw a gigantic, an orange orb that floated right to that area where that sound came from. Now, are orbs ET related? Are they Sasquatch? I mean, like, what is an orb? So I cannot say that I've ever seen a Bigfoot ever get out of a spaceship. Okay. So I can't say I know the connection. I don't know anything, Shane. I don't know anything. And the more I'm out in the field, the less I feel like I know. You know, you think you know, but you don't. It kind of goes back to the point being of like, a lot of times we don't know what we're dealing with out in the field. We think we're dealing with Bigfoot, but it could be anything. Unless we see a Bigfoot with our own eyes, can we say for sure that was a Bigfoot that made those howls at us? You know, unless you see a spirit, you know, like these ghost boxes, the boxes that people use, the ITC devices, how do we know those are ghosts talking to us? How do we know that's our deceased, you know, our great aunt that died or something that's talking to us? We don't know. So I don't know. I there is a connection. There's a connection. A matter of fact, I have a sticker of a Bigfoot and an alien holding hands on the back of my truck. Okay. So that's enough right there.
That's just the pessimist. That's just the pessimist in you. I'm just.
Yeah. Right.
Because, I mean, your experience with getting hit in the back of the legs, it goes into a lot of stuff that I've heard where, you know, people will see a Bigfoot and then it just disappears, or it just appears out of nowhere. And it's almost like, you know, what went through my head and whatever this means, it's almost like that Bigfoot's in another dimension as it's running up the hill. And it's able to kind of blur the lines a little bit to physically be able to make contact with you and then completely come out of whatever state that it's in to then hide behind a tree in the woods. Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. I mean, I believe that's a possibility. I also believe that we as humans don't have the rods and cones in our eyes to be able to see everything that they do. As crazy as that sounds, I think it's actually us as humans not being able to vibrate on the frequency that they are on. Now, how they change their vibrational frequency, I'm not sure. Ron Moore has an amazing book called Quantum Bigfoot. I recommend everybody listening to this show. Go check out Ron Moorhead's Quantum Bigfoot. That's one of the best books written about Bigfoot ever. Mm-hmm.
I heard him speak about that, and it does sound super interesting. I can't read, though, but yeah. It does sound interesting. If I could get somebody to read it to me, I might be
able. Yes. It's an amazing book. It's actually really good. So, but he addresses that in his book.
I'll have to... See, now I'm going to add that to the list into the pile of books that are sitting over here on the coffee table and dig into. Because I do think if that is what we're going to believe, that's certainly a possibility that there could be that little period in between where you got one foot in one dimension and one foot in the other. And that could have been what happened to you, you know, like, and they were just messing with you because they know, you know.
Yeah. Well, in that David Politis movie about the UFO connection, there's a man on there who was interviewed talking about a cube that he, like a see-through cube. And that's almost exactly what my team has documented on FLIR. Yes.
Sees there in the meadow, right? Yeah.
Yes, at the meadow. So we've actually already documented that years ago, but we just haven't made it public. I've talked about it a lot on my show. And on my shows, we've done a lot of research on this cube phenomenon. But then, lo and behold, there's a man on David Politis's movie that has a cube in a field, who claimed it was a spacecraft, by the way. So we think it's a portal. But
well, yeah, I mean, listen, we're, you know, the stuff that David Politis is talking about, I mean, it only stands to reason that there'd be portals in some of those areas, you know. It just seems like the right situation for something like that, you know. And that's kind of, and that's what we, it's what we talked about with Trey, you know. How do we know this? You know, why are the portals always out in the middle of the forest? And he goes, I don't think they are.
They're not. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. I mean, I just was watching. I'm friends with Tyler and Aaron from Journey to Truth podcast, and they had posted something. I'm actually speaking at their conference in a couple months. They posted Max Spear, somebody talking about the, I think it's the Hilton hotels, where they're actually jump rooms in some of their hotel rooms. They have stargates underneath all their properties. So,
what?
Yes, yes. Listen, I've been doing shows on this, okay, because I'm really into like stargates, time travel, portals. And I did a show 2 weeks ago with Barry Littleton on my YouTube channel, The Cryptid Huntress, where he gave me some blind targets. I didn't know what the targets were. Turns out one of the targets I did was weaponized natural portals on the Earth. Okay, weaponized portals. Okay, well, I was actually remote viewing the sun and watching UFOs coming in and out of the sun when I remote viewed this and the Earth. So that is a very interesting show. If anybody'd like to see that, go to the Cryptid Huntress on YouTube. It's there in my live video playlist. I'm really into this stuff.
So weaponized portals?
Weaponized. Yes, our military uses them. Yeah. And intergalactic, other beings from other planets all over the place. They're using portals.
So what are we using them for?
Well, you know, think about the David Politis thing where people are going missing out of the national forest.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
are we jumping from one spot on the Earth to another spot on the Earth, or are we going to another place altogether?
Both.
And
every question you have for me, I'm like, yes, all of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We're gosh, if every woman was like you, my life would have been a lot better. So where on Earth? I mean, it's just I don't even know where to begin. We're like, where's our military going then?
It's not just our military. I think it's I don't know. I can't even say it's all military. they're going all over the universe. I mean, think about the secret space program. Okay. Think about, see, here's the thing. I have to be careful about what I talk about too, because I have actually gotten the proverbial knock at my door already. So, it wasn't until I remote viewed the moon, which is a big no-no. I was told to kind of watch what I say about this stuff, but I do have a Patreon where I put all this stuff, a lot of the information that I can't talk about publicly. The Cryptid Huntress on Patreon, if anybody wants to join that, all my data goes there. Stuff that I can't really talk about, especially the off-planet stuff is very sensitive for some reason.
Oh, man, so they're afraid that you're going to spill the beans on the moon really being made out of green cheese?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Like that.
It's just the moon, man. What could possibly be going on?
No, it's just Swiss cheese. That's all.
What could possibly be going on in the moon that nobody wants us to know about?
Well, that's something that I can't talk. I don't know. I have no idea, Shane. I have no idea. You know, it's actually the moon landing. It was the moon landing. It wasn't even the moon. It was the moon landing, the Apollo 11 one. Listen, I actually got a phone. I got a message about 2 hours before my show went live. Was told to keep my mouth shut, and so okay. I did my show anyways, but I had to change kind of the outline of it. So
okay, so I have a friend and a guy who's been on the show a couple times, the great Stacey Brown.
I know Stacey. Yeah.
Stacey Brown vehemently opposes any idea that the moon landing actually happened as if, as we were presented, it happened. Yes or no, Stacey Brown, nobody's talking about, or is he just crazy?
No, Stacey's a smart man. I like Stacey.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, let me tell you something. I don't agree with Stacey on everything. Okay. And I don't usually say that, you know, because I do appreciate his ingenuity, man, when it comes to the research and everything. So I think he's a smart guy. Now, as far as the moon, I do believe that we've been on the moon for sure. Okay. Now, how we got there is a different story.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that little bit of intrigue there.
Yes.
Well,
I'll think about that.
Listen, Jesse, I'm going to tell you, I am glad that we finally got to have you on the show, because you have, I think anybody that's listened to this, is their mind is kind of blown, and they're going to want to go and check out all these shows that you've done on all these topics, because we can't even really dig into it. I mean, we're just scratching the surface of all the stuff that you've done and talked about and done shows on. So, please tell all of our listeners where they can go and find some of these shows and get some more information on some of the topics you've been talking about.
Okay. Well, thank you, Shane. Well, if you'd like to follow this crazy cryptid huntress on all her adventures, I have a website, thecryptidhuntress.com. All of my shows are there listed. I try to update it every day. I have a YouTube channel called The Cryptid Huntress. Please go subscribe there. And every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, I have a daytime show. And then on Thursdays, I have an 8 p.m. show Eastern. My Thursday show, I do remote viewing targets, and I look into a lot of really crazy stuff. So y'all definitely check that out. Saturday and Sunday nights, I have my weekend host at Spaced Out Radio. I have a show called Off the Trails on Spaced Out Radio, where I bring on all sorts of cool guests and have a lot of fun there. So y'all tune into that, Spaced Out Radio on YouTube. Okay. But other than that, you know, I'm just out in the field doing research and having fun. So, and being a mom.
I'm going to start working on my pitch right now for the Road television series of you and Stacey Brown traveling all over the world looking for portals underneath Hilton hotels. Underneath Hilton Hotels.
You know, we should actually get that together. I'm down.
Stacey Brown right now just drove his Uber into a telephone pole and said, "Oh my God, yes, please, let's do this."
Stacey, call me. Let's do it.
Oh, Jessica, hey, thank you. And I encourage everybody to go check out some of this stuff, because it is worth more investigation and learning more about. I mean, the remote viewing stuff is. And it's no joke. I mean, governments do have programs to do this, you know, and of course people say, well, the government wastes a lot of money on stuff that's worthless. Well, they're not the only government that, you know, our government's not the only government that puts money into this program. So there has to be, you know, there's something to it, you know, so.
Most definitely.
Well, Jessica, I thank you so much again for coming on and hanging out with me. And I hope our guests enjoyed this conversation as much as I did.
Thank you, Shane. I had a blast. Anytime. Come join me at Spaced Out Radio sometime. I'd love to have you on as a guest. Okay?
Anytime you're hurting, anytime you're hurting for a guest or somebody cancels, just give me a call.
Okay. I will. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's been a blast.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out. God only knows what's hiding in our shadows.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.